One should hear, glorify, and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities, and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord, and even his wife, children, home, and very life air, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has ordered, Yat Karoshi, Yat Jahoshi, Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi, Yat Jahoshi, Yadasi, Yat, Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya, Tat Karushva Madhavana. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, and all austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. Srila Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. End of Prabhupada's quotes. Many persons who become attracted to the devotional service of Krishna are bewildered by the material possessions, reputation, or skills they have accumulated by their previous material activities. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, these two verses indicate that all such material opulences accumulated by one's previous karma should be used as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's fame, education, wealth, and so on should all be used to carry out the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes envious materialists ask why one should waste one's wealth and education in the Lord's service when such things could be used to gratify the temporary material body. Actually, however, whatever we possess, including this body, is ultimately the property of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all existence. Therefore, one should be blessed by dovetailing one's so-called opulences in the devotional service of the Lord. Otherwise, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarvaharascham, the Supreme Lord will appear before us at the time of death as Mrityu, death personified, and violently take away all of our possessions. Therefore, such possessions should be peacefully offered to the lotus feet of the Lord while we are still living and able to enjoy the pious result of such an offering. According to Srila Vishnu Chagur Thakur Tapaha, austerity means that one should observe vows such as Ekadashi Vrata, in which one fasts from grains and beans twice a month. Minimum. The word Japtam refers to chanting the holy names of the Lord, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Vishnu Chagra Thakur has further pointed out that one can offer one's wife, children, and home to the Lord by converting one's family into devotees of the Supreme Lord. Rather than becoming artificially puffed up in the pursuit of so-called status symbols, one's family should be trained to understand that they are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. And when the entire family becomes dedicated to the Lord's service, a very beautiful situation is created. Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that if a human being is not initiated into the process of Bhagavad Dharma, he must depend upon the uncertain knowledge derived from his gross material senses. Indifferent to the sublime descriptions of the Lord's eternal appearances, pastimes, and innumerable transcendental qualities, the faithless materialist wanders about on the platform of mundane enjoyment. But if one can understand the reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is described in authorized Vedic literature, then one should accept the order of Tridanda Sannyas, or at least one should practice restraint of the body, mind, and words, and thus become self-controlled and fixed in the Absolute Truth. Then all of one's desires, all the charity he gives, and his penances and chanting of mantras, in other words, his entire personality, his home, his children, his wife, and his very life here, become heartfelt offerings to the Supreme Lord. When a living entity constantly hears the authorized descriptions of the Supreme Lord and dovetails all of his activities in the Lord's service, avoiding other activities, he is considered to be fixed on the platform of Bhagavad Dharma. The words here appear, tadarke kila cheshtitam. All one's endeavors should be for his sake, as is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Tad means here Krishna. Krishnarte akila cheshtitam. Krishnarte akila cheshtitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that comes out as Krishnarte akila cheshtitam. All endeavors should be for Krishna's satisfaction. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to explain this principle, Srila Rupa Goswami states, what is that verse? Laukiki Vaiviki Chaiva. What is that verse? Hari Seva Nikulaiva. Bhakti Ichata. Laukiki Vaiviki Vapi Yakriya. Yato Mune. Hari Seva Anukulaiva. The purport is that all activities, whether ordinary activities or those enjoined in Shastra, or it could mean that those who are following the Pancharatri path or the Vedic path, everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. What that is explained here. That one should specifically hear and chant about and meditate upon the Supreme Lord, Hari, who is supreme by dint of his extraordinary activities. In the modern age, many persons are advertised as, or advertise themselves as, being the Supreme. One of them in South India does some extraordinary activities, such as making ashes come out of his picture, which is extraordinary to us, but it's not nearly as extraordinary as Adbhuta Karmana, the actual Supreme Lord, who is Urukrama. For instance, his extraordinary activities mean walking over the whole universe in two steps. How many steps would it take you to walk from here to Gurgaon? You have to calculate how many kilometers it is, how many steps per kilometer. The Supreme Lord in two steps covered the whole universe. So this is an example, only one example of his Adbhuta Karma, by which he is known as Adbhuta Karma, performer of wonderful activities. So persons who perform activities that are wonderful to us, such as making ashes appear from their picture, which is of no value to anyone anyway. We have to see if it's actually wonderful compared to the wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord. Yesterday, I saw in the foyer of the, just as you come through, come out of security check in the new, that was the second day of the new airport in Bangkok called Suvarnabhumi Airport. So they have a huge shopping area, and just as you enter, there's a very big, what would you call it, diorama, I suppose, very, of the churning of the milk ocean. And there was the asuras on one side and the devas on the other. And it had some writing also, how it could have been, the writing could have been written by one of our devotees. Only they didn't say the Supreme Lord, they said Vishnu. They didn't say the Supreme Lord, but they said in his avatar as the tortoise avatar. So, is another example of his Adbhuta Karmana. His amazing activities, that he takes the form of a tortoise. And then again, as was shown in this diorama, he was the Mandara Parvat was resting on the back of Matsya Avatar, and on top of the Meru is again Vishnu in his human-like form. And again, he appears in this Leela in another very unusual form, female form. Although he's Vishnu, it's the original sex change without any contamination. People in the modern age have sex change operations. I think that's not very common in India, is it? It's there in the West. Not very common, but some people think, someone who's a man thinks, well, I'd rather be a woman. And a woman thinks, well, I'd rather be a man. And they do something. I don't know. I think it's mostly for people who have double genitals or something. People have bad karma. So much emphasis on sex, it makes people crazy. So, Adbhuta Karma. And amazing activities performed by the Supreme Lord. This word Adbhut is very important, because Adbhut, the sense of something being amazing, wonderful, that is the definition of rasa. Rasa arises from that which is amazing, something wonderful. Krishna is Akhila Rasa Murti. All amazing and wonderful things abide in him. And you can never tell what he's going to do next. It's always wonderful. Nitya Navayamana. Always new and fresh. So Krishna is the one who should be heard about, chanted about, and remembered. And his janma, karma, guna, his appearance, activities, qualities, these should be heard, chanted and remembered about. And then one's wife, dharan, sutan. Dharan, this looks like plural, is it?
Yeah.
So this is, here in the English it's translated in the... Yeah, in the singular, but actually it's in the plural form. So, they've added, in the translation they've added some Western moral standards. Although in the original, it's in the plural, one's wives, dharan, sutan, grihan, one's homes. One may have more than one's home, more than one home. Again, they put it in the plural. Pranam, one's life. Yat parasmai, he is supreme. Therefore, it should be offered to him. The purport opens with the quoting of the verse, Yat karoshi yadashna, whatever you do should be offered to him. But the sense of this verse in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever charity you perform, everything should be done as an offering to me. That's not exactly the sense that's being given here in these two verses. There's a difference, isn't there? Who can see? There's a difference in emphasis, vital difference in emphasis.
Krishna, I think Krishna is emphasizing devotion to himself.
No, I was going to say round the other way. This is more on the level of karma yoga and at the level before bhakti yoga. That, well, whatever you're doing, don't forget to offer it to me. Whereas here, the emphasis is on hearing and chanting about and meditating upon the Supreme Lord. And because one's focus is on the Supreme Lord, therefore, whatever else one does should be offered to him. That you can go on with your dharan, sutan, grihan. You can go on with all these things. But it should be all offered. Pranam, one's very life, one's life is, should be offered in the service of Krishna. Whereas here, in the Yad Karoshi Yad Ashnasi verse, it's more like, well, whatever you're doing, remember Krishna also. But here the emphasis is on, remember Krishna and offer to him. Whereas here, in this series of verses, two verses today, which we have one with an English number and one with a Sanskrit number, 27, 28. Anyway, that's not very important. The emphasis is first and foremost on remembering him. So there's a difference. So this Krishnarte Akhila Cheshta, this is the essence of bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he often quoted this. It's the essence of, I mean, rather it's the practical demonstration of bhakti. Bhakti means attachment to the Supreme Lord, loving attachment, and that is manifested by performing all one's activities for his satisfaction. Also, again, that point, love means service. Love is not just a feeling, but it's generated from interactions in which the two parties who love each other, they act for the satisfaction of each other. This is exchange of love. And there are activities. The love is demonstrated in activities. Otherwise, words are cheap. One can say, I love you. But then, love means one has to be prepared to make some sacrifice that is tested. In love, one is prepared to forego one's own happiness for the sake of the benefit of the loved person. That's why we see that all the great devotees, they all went through so many difficulties. That's just to demonstrate how all pure devotees, they put their own, they don't consider their own happiness. they consider that my only meaning of my life is to act for the satisfaction of Krishna. Whereas neophyte devotees say, well, I'm serving God, and why is he giving me so many difficulties? They think that their bhakti is meant for, he will provide for my benefit in measured in terms of my personal comfort and personal bodily happiness. Whereas a pure devotee's outlook is completely different. He doesn't consider his own happiness. Nadhanam, 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 najanam, nasundarim. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur has extrapolated more. I don't want nahi magi deha sukha. I don't want any bodily happiness. Nothing. Only acting for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this is, and doing that shows that demonstrates that one's love is genuine. Otherwise, there are many fair weather friends. One has friends, as long as one has money, he'll have many friends. When his money runs out, his friends run out too. Because their friendship is not actuated by actual regard for the person, but for the, there's no actual love there, but they want to take advantage of what he's got. That's all. There's no actual love. So that's interesting. That also here, it stated, parasmai nivedanam. Everything should be offered to him because he's the supreme. But then at the highest level of bhakti, Krishna does not take the position of the supreme. He takes the position of an equal or a subordinate. This is Vrajalila. And even in Vrajalila, if he sometimes shows his supremacy, the Vrajvasis, they don't really grasp that. It doesn't really register. It doesn't become a major... It doesn't make any difference to the way they see Krishna. Because for them, their love for him, just unmotivated, that they don't want anything, they just love him, even if he treats them apparently badly. This is most astonishing, because love will love someone for their good qualities, and one loves Krishna, janma karma gunanam, for his good qualities. But Krishna, especially in Vrajalila, doesn't appear to have good qualities. He's enchanting by his beautiful form, his beautiful flute playing, his beautiful bodily sense, his joking, his so many things. But then he totally disappoints all the Vrajavasis by leaving them and saying, I'll come back, and doesn't come back. So it appears that all the attractive qualities he had were nullified by his... He appears to be, we find in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lampat, speaking in the mood of Radharani. He says, Lampat. Lampat means a man who enjoys women and then just drops them. Enjoys and drops. There's no responsibility. In civilized society, there's family life. So one is allowed to enjoy sense gratification, but there's little bit of enjoyment and lot of responsibility. So persons who simply want to enjoy but don't want to take the responsibility, then they are condemned. But then Krishna, he appears to be like that. Of course, we should be very careful in our estimation. When Radharani speaks like that, we should be very careful, because Krishna's lampatya, his debauchery is on the level far beyond mundane morality. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhihi. It is on the transcendental level of divine pleasure-giving ras, that which is generated from the sense of wonder in transcendental existence. Transcendental rasa means beyond the three modes of material nature, beyond the sphere of exploitation. Krishna appears to exploit in his Vrajalila, but there's no exploitation. His apparent bad qualities, they simply nourish the love of his totally unself-motivated devotees. It actually increases their bhakti more and more and more as they find that they cannot forget Krishna, even though to them it seems that Krishna has forgotten them. Although, of course, Krishna never can forget. This is described in this 11th canto of Bhagavatam, which mostly consists of the Uddhava Gita. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So, it's similar in many ways to Bhagavad Gita, which he spoke to Arjuna. But actually, although Arjuna is a completely pure devotee, nevertheless Uddhava is even closer to Krishna than Arjuna. And also Krishna was speaking privately to Uddhava, whereas not so privately to Arjuna. So Krishna revealed to Uddhava some very he was speaking of the glories of his devotees, and he openly tells Uddhava that of all my devotees, nothing can compare to the gopis of Vrindavan, how they have sacrificed everything for me. So Krishna is very open with that. Of course, Uddhava, he already knows this, because Krishna is speaking this to Uddhava just before he leaves this world, this Uddhava Gita. So Uddhava has already been sent to Vrindavan to bring a message from Krishna to the gopis. And at that time, Uddhava, message from Krishna to the Vrajavasis. But in Bhagavatam, it's especially described what is the response of the gopis of Vrindavan. So Uddhava is well aware of this. Well aware means he's aware of the greatness of the gopis of Vrindavan, who are the highest exemplar of the principle Krishnate Akila Cheshta. Everything should be done for the sake of Krishna. So here we are very logically and reasonably being exhorted by Lord Sri Krishna that everything should be done for Hari. Why? Because he is Adbhuta Karma. He is the supreme. Parasmayin, yat parasmayin vedanam. To that supreme. Who is that supreme? Hare Adbhuta Karma Maha. Hari, who performs wonderful activities. There are many. Hari can refer to Indra, can refer to a lion, is also called, can refer to a thief, may refer to so many people. You probably, if you have many friends and acquaintances, you probably know at least one or two people who are called Hari. It's a common name in India. You knew some people called Hari? It's a common name. But which Hari is being referred to here? Hari Adbhuta Karmanaha. who performs wonderful activities. Of course, Indra could be said to perform wonderful activities. He, with his famed thunderbolt, he destroys the masses of the demons' armies, and he cuts the wings of flying mountains and makes them crash down. The lion also performs wonderful activities. If we are to praise a brave man for his wonderful activities, we compare him to a lion. Isn't it? There's some in Bengal, the Shere Bangla. I can't remember who it is, but there's one person called the Lion of Bengal. Who is that? I can't remember.
Ganguly.
He was executed by the British, is it?
They said him that he's
tiger. Oh, the cricketer.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that fellow. He's the new Shere Bangla, but there's some other one from the, I think from the Swaraj period.
Subhash Chandra Bose?
Maybe Subhash Chandra Bose. I think it's someone else though. It was in East Bengal. We used to hear this term. The Lion of Bengal. So someone who performs wonderful activities, but this example, there are so many, but this Urukram avatar, he's often given as the example. He's both Vamana and Urukrama, which are contradictory terms. Vamana means very small. He's not just Vamana, we should full name Vamana avatar or Vamana Dev. Otherwise, there are so many Vamana, there's so many dwarves. So he's very short, but then great steps, very big steps. So a dwarf cannot take very big steps, but he takes very big steps, bigger than we can imagine. He's beyond our imagination. But he's so kind that he becomes accessible to us. He doesn't remain in his massive form, conquering or stepping over the universe. But he remains as a small boy. First of all, as Indra Nuj, he was in the court of Indra, where Indra sometimes used, he's my younger brother, nice little boy. And then again as the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. So this is wonderful about the Supreme Lord, that even he is so wonderful, but he makes himself accessible and even apparently subordinate to his devotees. So this is the thrust of Srimad Bhagavatam. How we can appreciate the Supreme Lord, that he's so great, yet he's so accessible. So, philosophy doesn't go this far. Swarasikhi siddhi brajagopi dham paramachanchala shati jogira dheya nirvishesha gyan ekane na paisthiti. The very personal and or the personal and rasa-filled service. Each gopi has her own very personal service to Krishna, which is her wealth. That is, the gopis are at the same time uncontrolled by Krishna. They're independent. At the same time, completely faithful to him. So this is beyond philosophy. The gyanis, they're studying philosophy, shastric knowledge, and the yogis, they're meditating. But this is beyond. They don't There's no place here. So, philosophy. We're discussing philosophy. But ultimately, Bhagavatam takes us beyond philosophy. Not as the Mayavadis. They say, you do philosophy and then you just kind of merge into an undefined... Well, if it's undefined, you can't... What word are you going to say? Undefined what? There's no word. There's always words. Words. It's only... No more words. But rather, there should be so many words to describe Him who is indescribable. But the attempt should be there to describe Him. Just 2 days ago, I was speaking on the perfection of philosophy and religion at the Department of Philosophy of Religion at a university in Bangkok. So I just spoken for 1 hour, and I was going step by step from when someone gave me a note and I said, oh, I have to finish soon. So then I had to jump through the next hour and had to give it in 5 minutes. So we jumped from that there is transcendence to Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone just got completely lost. But they would have got lost anyway, because they're trying to understand rationally. But it only goes so far. Then at the end, they get some question. Then you're talking about universal principles, and then you introduce a name. So then that's not universal. Then the Supreme should not have a name. You can... That there is God and that He's the Supreme Person, we can logically understand. It's like if you come to a country, you don't know what system of government is there or who's the head of government, but you know there must be some system of government and there must be a head of government. To deny that would be foolish and illogical. But who is He? What does He like to eat for breakfast? No amount of logic can tell you about His personality, but He must have a personality. He's not just an automated robot at the head of state. So then I was saying that, yes, and Krishna has his favorite animal, the cow, his favorite musical instrument, the flute, and he has his girlfriend also, and that really finished them off, because they're Muslims and Buddhists, and they'll never accept that God can have a girl. They can have girlfriends, but He cannot. So, therefore this 11th canto should be studied. That gives the philosophical basis to everything we read before, especially in the 10th canto. It's beyond philosophy. So, when your mind is completely boggled by hearing Krishna about Krishna's sarvad bhuta karmana, His all wonderful activities, then come to the 11th canto and then understand it philosophically. That's given here by Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Comment?
Well, like, Raja sees love Krishna, yeah, unmotivated, I was raised to even if this is Sri Sampradaya, their love is also...
Their what?
The love which the Alvas, it's
also unmotivated. And yes, well, that's there also in the Alvas, the way they describe. But at the same time, there's always the sense of, there's a lot of sweetness in there, and there's a lot of Divya Prabandhas about Krishna, how He's stealing butter and this and that. But still, despite all this, they definitely appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. He's definitely very sweet. But at the same time, they maintain a strong sense of His being the Supreme. So that Aishwarya Bhav is still very strong. And the sweetness at that level comes from appreciating that He's so great, but at the same time He's so accessible to us. And that's one of the wonder. That's a wonderful point which we come across again and again and again in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhakti philosophy. How He is so great, yet He becomes Just like now we're going to sing Damodarashtaka. So he cannot, he is bound by the ropes of love. Pranaya Rasanaya. That's in Bhagavatam. He who cannot be controlled, who is, there are so many instances. Chitta Chitta Api Apitais Trilokya. He is unconquerable, but he is conquered by the process of bhakti. So that is the basis of bhakti. To appreciate his greatness and to simultaneously appreciate his sweetness. But then, when one comes to the very highest level, even that he is great doesn't become a factor at all. And the sweetness increases so much that they don't think that Krishna is great. Madhurya Bhagavata Sa, the very essence of God's godness is not his power, but his sweetness. So when the sweetness becomes so predominant, then there's no more consciousness of his greatness, even if he shows it. Just like Mother Yashoda shows, she sees Krishna's Vishwarup within his mouth. And it just starts to make some impression on her, but then she forgets immediately when Krishna wants to be fed, and then she forgets completely about his greatness. So sometimes even in Vrajalila, Krishna shows his greatness, just his opulence, just to add to the sanchari bhav, or the current mood. But he doesn't. That's never manifest for very long. So if it can. The only reason that Krishna will show his greatness in Vrindavan is if it can nourish in some way the sweetness. But he never manifests for very long. And it's never predominant. So that's the difference. Definitely, Sri Vaishnava, all the genuine Vaishnava Sampradayas, they all have bhakti, and bhakti is sweet.
It's difficult to comprehend.
It's not comprehensible. It's not a subject matter of the intellect.
And it is a Sri Vaishnavas and Madhvas,
because we're not on the platform of Raj Bhakti, that's why it's difficult for us to enter into it. But we can, by hearing about it, we can begin to appreciate it. And then by the mercy of the Vrajvasis, we can enter into it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the method how we should approach that. Pujala Raga Pata. We should, instead of artificially imagining ourselves to be on that platform, we should rather, with a mood of great awe and reverence, worship those who are on that path. That we maintain awe and reverence, but not so much for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, although that is not to be discarded, but for those who have transcended that, they're nitya siddha, those who are in a position transcendent of that. Now, interestingly, Gita Govinda begins with Dashavatar Stotram. So just very quickly, Jayadev Goswami, while introducing pastimes which are far beyond any conception of Krishna's greatness, he introduces that. Now, who are we going to talk about? Keshava. Who is that Keshava? He is the Matsya avatar. He is Kurma avatar. He is Varaha avatar. Narasimha avatar, and on, Vamana, Parashuram, Rama, then Balaram, Buddha, and Kalki. Yeah. Well, he doesn't speak of that in the Dashavatara Stotra. So Keshavadrita, he's the great supreme lord who in the waters of devastation he appeared as a fish and gave the Vedas. So his hearers must be aware of this. But then again he goes on to another stotram in which immediately the mood turns to, well, this is also this Dashavatara Stotram. That's also, but very sweet. But then he goes on to this, Shritakamala Kucha Mandala hai. He goes on to the Supreme Lord who's lying on the breasts of Lakshmi. So he immediately, the mood, still praising him, but it becomes, then the mood switches to one of sweetness, or where sweetness is predominant. It's not lacking in the Dashavatara Stotra, but it becomes emphasized, and then it becomes. So the whole Gita Govinda, it's just churning the sweetness. The very language is all very sweet. Everything is sweet. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. Madhugandhi, medusmatanaita raho, madhuram, 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 madhuram. Of course, as long as we have any taste for the supposed sweetness of this material world, we're not eligible to taste this, to fully taste the sweetness of the Supreme Lord, although we can begin to do so.
This means that that Raja Bhav only is a translator. At a prakrit level, otherwise.
Certainly, it's a prakrit. On the mundane level, one cannot understand.
Prakrit means adhokshajan. At that level. Mm. Otherwise, you can't surpass greatness.
No, well, certainly at the pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha levels, that's the very meaning there, that one cannot. Mm. One has to come to the aprakrita level. One has to go beyond the mundane levels. But that doesn't mean that one can't be on the aprakrita level while apparently living in this material world. One may see a devotee externally, but his life is actually nothing to do with this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amitoshananda Shukada Bhashi Radhika Madhava Charanadasa. I'm in Swananda Sukhada Kunj, which looks to the materialist like part of Bengal, but actually he's living his existence. He's a retired government officer, made his country home on the banks of the Saraswati, Jalangi River, in Navadvip. Pious man, religious man, has retired early to lead a religious life. But he doesn't see himself like that. He sees himself as the intimate maidservant of Radha Krishna. So we should worship the acharyas. Their realization is so high, so wonderful. The alvas also, I mean, they're on a platform, is just astonishingly wonderful. I always like to remember the story of Kulashekhar Alva, who was a king. And he was sitting and listening to Ramayana. And then they hear how all the armies of the monkeys are being gathered to attack Lanka, and he orders, come, bring out the army, bring out the troops, we're going to march. And with great difficulty, his ministers restrain him. And then they have to, tell the sadhus, stop telling Ram Leela, we're going to lose our king. And they lost him, because he said, I can't stay here anymore. But he wasn't just hearing it, but he was there. In his meditation, he was there. That, what am I doing sitting here? I'm a king, I've got my army, let's go and join Ram. We're going to fight and kill Ravana. Let's go, he needs help. They couldn't, and great difficulty, the ministers restraining. He was giving orders. Okay, general, come here. Get the troops ready. Muster them up. Get them armed. We're going now. Immediately. Start marching. So these are wonderful stories. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Some of the earliest articles he wrote were the charitrams, the mini biographies of the Alvas. He appreciated that so much. Hare